Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio networks that explores solutions to issues concerning the Black community. Presents Black Urban America. All you folks are listening by laptop that want to make a comment or have a question, you may dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. Here's the lineup. Over to the States, we have Black Urban America. I'm your host, Kenny Jones. Every second Tuesday, we have Miss Young that bring in different people from Chicago as guests every second Tuesday. And this is second Tuesday, and we have a special guest for you tonight. Every third Tuesday, we have Miss Pam Williams, advocate of Milwaukee. And on Saturdays, we have Carlton Sneed, a provocative thought. Our programs begin at 8 o'clock p.m. 35 years ago, an extraordinary woman started the Chicago Gospel Festival. 35 years ago. Imagine something that you're doing lasting for 3.5 decades. And she worked closely for the first Black mayor of Chicago. She's a jazz singer herself and an actress and a producer and a writer. And she's the founder. Matter of fact, this year, Chicago Gospel Festival will be on June 4th, 2022. And it's for 3 days. So welcoming tonight to Black Urban America is Miss Sasha Dalton. Good evening, Miss Dalton. How are you?
Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I want to thank you for coming on Black Urban America. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with all your accolades throughout. And you have a book called Unplug. Explain the book Unplug.
Well, it chronicles my journey to founding what was the largest gospel festival in the world. The Chicago Gospel Music Festival.
In the world.
In the world, yes. the largest attendance that we had during my tenure was 100,000 people a day for 2 days.
Wow.
Yes.
You said during your tenure. So you don't oversee the festival no more? You retired?
No, yes, I'm no longer doing the festival, but I'm so proud that it's still continuing.
Yeah. I mean, how does it feel? Give it to me. How does it feel to start
something? Well, I actually feel very good about it because it was something that has helped the gospel music industry. It was a blessing to the people who attended. And it was another first in the cap of Chicago, which is known as the home of gospel music. So it gave me a good feeling to know that I did that. Pardon me?
Chicago was the home of blues and jazz.
Oh, Chicago is just the home of music.
Excuse me. Why did you want to start an event like this? What came into your mind to start an event like this?
Well, actually, I didn't want to start it, and that's the interesting thing about the book, because at the time, I was planning to move back to New York. I had a show that had closed off Broadway entitled Dinah and, what was the name of that show? It was a musical on Dinah Washington. And I was actually, to the best of my knowledge, the first person to ever do a musical on Dinah Washington. It was entitled Dinah, Queen of the Blues. I don't know how I forgot that. And we appeared at the West Side Arts Theater. And after that show closed, I came back home at the request of the new mayor, who was a friend of mine, who asked me to come in and do a fundraising event for him. And I did. And at the urging of my family, I stayed a little longer than I had planned, but I still had an apartment in New York. And so while I was here, after that fundraiser, I gave the mayor an idea to do a Dr. King celebration. Because I don't know if you know that Illinois was the first state to make Dr. King's birthday a provisional holiday. So my idea was, why don't you get a jump on the nation, Mayor, and do a big tribute to Dr. King before the national holiday, which would have been in 1986. So during the campaign, which I worked on, we had a lot of support from national celebrities, one of whom was Stevie Wonder. So my suggestion to him was to have Stevie Wonder come in as part of this Dr. King event and have a gang summit with the gangs. And he and Oprah Winfrey talked to about 200 gang members for over an hour and have a big all-day Dr. King tribute, which was absolutely phenomenal. The mayor suggested that he also start the day with the Dr. King Interfaith Breakfast, which is still going on. So when I was about to leave to go back to New York, because I had a ticket to go back to New York, I was still paying my rent in my apartment in New York on St. Nicholas Avenue, mm-hmm. A gentleman came in the office, and he was trying to get the governor's award for Professor Thomas Dorsey. And he asked if I would write a letter on behalf of this initiative from myself and from the mayor, which I did. He came back about a week later and said, but cinched it, Dorsey's going to get the award. So when I met with the mayor to close out the Dr. King event, I said to him, you know, the governor's going to give Thomas Dorsey the governor's award. And he said, that's nice. I said, well, I know you're not going to let the governor outdo the city. You've got to do something bigger. This is the father of gospel music. And he said, well, what do you think we should do? I said, a gospel festival. Call it the Dorsey Gospel Festival. He's the father of gospel music. Have it on Father's Day weekend. And I remember the mayor saying to me, because this was in February, and it was in March when I said this to him. And he said, well, can you do it that fast? And I said, I can't do it at all. I'm going back to New York. He said, not if it's going to be a gospel festival. So I said, okay, I'll stay and produce it this year, and then I'm leaving. And that never happened. It was very successful. And we had it in a community park at a country club. And the first year we had 30,000 people. The second year we had 40,000 people. And the mayor said, you can't stay here any longer. It's got to go downtown and be a major festival. Because Chicago was also producing a major blues and jazz festival. So it became the City of Chicago Gospel Festival. And we moved it to the major venue in downtown Chicago, which is called Grant Park. And that's how it happened. And it grew and grew every year.
So you didn't have to go through any difficulties putting on this event. You didn't have to jump through all kind of hoops. You had the backing and the okay from Mayor Washington, the late Mayor Washington.
Well, I jumped through a lot of hoops because at the time I gave the idea for the festival, I was not welcomed necessarily by the religious community, the greater religious community, because they knew me. I was well known, but I was known as a singer, as a jazz singer, and not affiliated with gospel. So So there were certainly groups
Tell me some difficulties that you have with the Christian community.
Well, the first difficulty was that I was a jazz singer, and I was not known as a gospel person in the gospel community because I didn't affiliate with that community. It wasn't that I wasn't a member of a church or I wasn't Christian. It was just that I was not the person that anyone thought that would come along under the administration of the first black mayor to do a gospel festival, because there were people here who had been doing gospel long before I had. And there was a group of ministers that used to call the city and call the mayor and tell him to get that blues singing HEFFA out of City Hall. So I had to overcome that. And I did. And I, after a couple of years, they liked me. You know, they made me one of them. But it wasn't easy at first. Not at all.
So what did you do or say to win them over?
Well, what I did was, when I realized that I had to produce this gospel festival, I knew that I needed some level of support from the gospel community. And I went to one of the largest ministers in this city, Reverend Clay Evans, who was the pastor of Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church, and I asked for his support. And he said, absolutely, I will support you. And he put together a ministers committee. And then I knew that I needed people who were well-known in gospel. One of them was Albertina Walker, the queen of gospel music. Mm-hmm. So I met Albertina, and I asked her would she work as part of the committee, and she said absolutely. And the energy was that we were honoring the father of gospel music as well, and Professor Dorsey was still alive at that time. I have great pictures of he and the mayor, and we had gone through such a magnificent campaign to have Mayor Washington elected, and all Chicago, I would say 90% of black Chicago supported that campaign, and we wanted the mayor to look good. So people came on, and I formed committees, and I got several people from the religious community and had them on various committees, and we made it happen.
And give back to Mayor Washington. Like, I could somewhat remember that it made national news when Mayor Washington, the late Mayor Washington, became the first black man in Chicago. And it seemed like proudness on black folks' faces.
Yes, it was.
Smiles from ear to ear, faces glowing. I was kind of a teenager when this happened, so it's kind of like I was in my early 20s, and it just appeared to be that black folks were proud, and it was a proud moment in our history, and so with all that, was he a good mayor? Do you think he was a good mayor?
Yes, he was a wonderful mayor. He was a wonderful mayor, and one of the things that always resonated with me about Mayor Washington was that there was so many problems with other communities when he was running, and he said in his inaugural address, even if you didn't vote for me, I will be your mayor. I am the mayor for all Chicago, and he absolutely was. He opened up the doors for women in city government, people that were getting contracts that never had contracts before. He supported the LGBTQ community. LGBT. Yeah, there was no Q at that time. Yeah. But he made so many accomplishments. And when he died, I actually was one of the coordinators for his funeral. And so people were just everywhere.
And Mayor Washington, it's safe to say that you and the late Mayor Washington were somewhat very close comrades.
Well, I wouldn't say we were close comrades, but I knew Mayor Washington when he was in Congress. And during that time, I was really just starting my singing career, and he always was very supportive. So we were acquainted, and I guess we had a friendly relationship. I became much closer to him.
Tell me about the man, not the politician, but the man.
He was a lot of fun, actually. He was what I would have called back in the day one of the good guys. He was trustworthy. You could talk to him about anything. He was always very supportive, and he was so smart. Oh, my God. At that time, before he became mayor, I called him Harold. After he became mayor, I never called him Harold again. Until the day he died, it was always Mayor Washington. But Mayor Washington could use words that would send the most intelligent person to the dictionary. So many times the news media didn't even know what he was saying. He was sharp. He was very sharp. He was an avid reader. And he was just a great guy. He really was. And if he said something, his word was his bond.
Hmm. Did black folks like him?
The majority did. I'd say 99%. There's always a percentage that doesn't.
That is the first. I don't know. Hold up, between you and me. And I hate to say this. I don't know any issue or subject or person that 99% of black folks will like. You know, I mean, we disagree on everything. Yeah, so to have support of 99% of black folks, that's accomplished within itself.
It was unbelievable. Everywhere he went, he drew a crowd. And that wasn't just black. That was black, white. Of course, now you must realize Chicago is really just up south. So there's veiled racism and open racism.
Whoa,
I
know.
Remember, oh, my God, it's something.
Chicago raises ugly head when Dr. King came up in there. Well, we were little children then, but he said, I marched all over the South, Mississippi, Alabama, but it's nothing like Cicero. And I mean, like, Chicago raised its ugly head, And that's the North. All the North is up South. And the North was more segregated back then.
Right.
Segregated than the South. Yeah.
When you talk about when Dr. King came to Chicago, now the mayor at that time was Mayor Daley.
Right.
And
right.
Daley just kind of ran the city. Well, he did run the city. But he always had a group of black aldermen and people in his pocket, as well as the religious community. And when Dr. King came, he said that made it known that he didn't want Dr. King to come to any of the churches. Reverend Clay Evans said, no, I'm supporting Reverend Dr. King. He's welcome in my church. As did one of the other pastors, Reverend A.P. Jackson of Liberty Baptist Church. You know, he said, I don't need the city's money. I'm my own person. Well, the mayor at that time, Daley, was so angered with Reverend Evans. He was in the midst of building a new church. Do you know they stopped the building on that church for 7 years?
Wow. Hey, you know why I know about Dr. King? Dr. King's speeches changed, and Dr. King's philosophy changed so what as he lived in Chicago for a year. His whole outlook on the issues, what we should be focusing on, changed. And you can hear the wordings He can give some words that he ain't used anymore and new terminology that he learned. You could tell. You could tell his whole vibe changed after he lived in Chicago.
Well, I can't speak to all of that, but I can say I was here when he was when he came in March to Gage Park, and I think that was probably 67.
Yeah, he lived in your town for a year. He lived in Chicago for a year, and he met with all the politicians, the black leaders, the black activists, and what have you. And like I said, you know, I think he lived in Chicago in 66. Yeah, 66.
That may be true.
No, 64. 64, I believe. 63 or 64. McCall, around about 65, 66, his speeches start changing up and everything. You know?
Well, Chicago can change you.
yeah. Well, hey. You know, Chicago is a major, always been a major city when it comes to our history. And speaking of our history, you know, tell me about your passion into black history. Yeah, that's your passion.
Well, see, for so many years, I was in California. I lived in California for 10 years. So I may have missed that part, but I know that certainly Reverend Jesse Jackson was very prominent at that time with Dr. King when he had Operation Breadbasket.
Mm-hmm.
They were big supporters of Dr. King. And then so many of the people who had worked in the movement moved to Chicago, like Dorothy Tillman, James Bevel, Reverend Al Sampson, there was Diane Bevel. There was a whole group that lived here, so they kept that King spirit alive.
Yeah, it was Chicago. This was happening. So with all of this, I'm about to end too, and I'm about to ask you a couple personal questions. How did you like living in New York?
I loved it. I didn't want to come back.
So, okay.
I did not want to come back to Chicago. But after I started doing the Gospel Festival.
If it wasn't for Mayor Washington asking you to put on this fundraiser, that means we would still have you as a New Yorker or a California.
Yes, you would. Not California, but definitely New York.
Well, tell me. I absolutely
love New York.
I've been trying to get out to Chicago for the last 20 years, but all of a sudden has stopped me and everything. Tell me, what's the difference between New York and Chicago? Is there any differences?
Well, I think the major difference at that time was New York was more artistically alive than Chicago. You know, just because of your history there in Harlem and the intellectual period that you had in New York. I think that that was one of the things that was different.
But it sounds like Chicago's had more revolutionary thinking.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. We are. We're more political. You know, I open one of my chapters in my book by saying Chicago is the kind of city that who you know is more important than what you know. And I had the good fortune to know Harold Washington.
And that was the big who you know. That was the big
and
who
that
you
was,
know. That
was one of the big who you knows. Yeah. This is my home, so my roots are here. And one thing about Chicago, I think that there's probably only two or three degrees of separation of everybody knowing everyone. We always say it's up south. So you have so many of us whose families migrated from the south. And we have that kind of camaraderie here among black people.
You said, I think all the northern cities, foundations, black foundations, came from the migration of the south. Maybe with the exception of Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia, Boston blacks had the longest, you know, they was here for a while. They was here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But like Chicago, L.A., New York, a lot of them blacks came from down south. A lot of really blacks been here for generations since the Liberty Bell. So, yeah. Well, Sasha Dalton, I want to thank you for coming on Black Urban America. I really appreciate this history lesson for our audience. And I want you to continue.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I want you to continue, even though you retired, I want you to continue to do or have some type of influence, because the young folks really need some type of advisory consultation and so bad history won't repeat itself, per se.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's a lot of history in my book, because it's not just about the gospel festival, but it's also about ministry you really have to follow the paths that God gives you, because I never would have thought in my wildest dream that I would have been the founder of the Gospel Festival, or that I would have been associated with the religious community like I am, so much so that I actually went to school to work on my master's in ministry. So there's a story here that the story of faith, you know, there's a story of overcoming, of resilience. And it doesn't matter that the festival started in Chicago, but what it did for gospel music at the time, and how you can do whatever you need to do with God's support, and that he always gives you that direction and you just follow it. It may not be the path that you think that you've designed for yourself, but it's going to be the best. I always say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. That wasn't my plan.
Yeah. Well, Sister Dalton, I appreciate you.
Thank you, and I appreciate you for having me on the program.
Okay, folks, that's it for tonight, another week. And this has been a great history lesson. I'm able to do more of these history lessons and whatnot. And our history should not be only February. Our history should be 365 days out of the year, because we built this country.
Absolutely.
As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.